He's day to day, so I've got a plan for either one. And obviously, without him practicing today, and we'll see where that is. We'll have the other guys get the reps, and toward the end of the week, we'll have a better feel.
You went with Matthews on Monday night. Would that be the way you go? Would you look at Acho in that spot?
Both of them are up and competing for it, and we'll see who by the end of the week has a better week. We have complete confidence in both of them, so we'll see how the week plays out. But it could be Casey or Acho, or a mix of both. You know.
How are they different as linebackers?
You know, there's not a whole lot of difference. They're both very intelligent guys that can set our front, and they can line us up. They understand the defense thoroughly. You know, they're very instinctive between the box. They're good tacklers. So they're very similar skill sets. Not a whole lot of difference between the two of them.
What have you seen from Alfred Morris so far? And how do you feel about the run defense in the first two games?
Alfred Morris?
Yeah.
Or you want to talk about our run defense?
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris is a great runner. They've got, you know, they really live and die with that stretch run game, and he does it very well. And the offensive line are suited for that stretch run game. They're very athletic, and they really they set the tempo with their offense through that run game. So we know Alfred Morris is going to be a huge challenge for us to stop, and we've got to make sure that that's intact. And the run defense for the first two games, obviously the first game was better than the last one. You know, a couple big runs took that stat and made it get to 170, which you never want. You always want to stop the run, but you know, it's a give and take as you go. You know, would you have taken 170 yards passing from Luck? Yeah, you would have. You just wouldn't have given up that much run. So at the end of the day, it's the scoreboard that counts the most, not the rush yards or the pass yard. It's turnovers, it's points allowed, and you know, we were happy we come out of there with a win against a really good Indianapolis team.
One thing when a quarterback takes over in midstream is another when he's starting a game. Do you think Washington adjusts its offense to what Cousins does best?
I think it'll change a little bit, but not a whole lot. I think the body of work that you see with Cousins in there is very similar to what they do with RG3. I think it elements of it may change. I think they've got to protect him pretty good because, you know, you down one quarterback, now you're a little bit more conservative with with the quarterbacks you have left. But it's still, they both have a very similar skill set with standing in the pocket and throwing. They still have a big boot element to their offensive attack. So I don't think it'll change a whole lot, but I think we will see what they'll put him in positions that they think he does the best.
How well has Kendrick's been playing so far this season and then compared to last year too?
I think Michael has just been a continuation of last year's improvement. I think you saw Michael get better and better. Again, we talk about it often with his understanding of the defense. He's been highly productive in the first two games that we've had. So I think he was on an ascent and still is. He's ascending.
What's the challenge playing against DeSean Jackson?
DeSean, we know him well. You know, he's got great speed, great ability to catch the ball and adjust. You know, I wouldn't know he'll be amped up to play us like all guys are when they go back to play their old team. But, you know, one of the good things is our defensive backs have covered him every day. And I think it helps a little bit when you go against him in practice every day and you have a feel for him as opposed to playing a talent like DeSean that you haven't gone up against and haven't felt his speed in what he does well and what he does, you know, doesn't.
How's Benny Logan played in the first two games? He had the injury in the summer, but do you feel like he's
Yeah, he's coming on. Benny had a real nice game, Monday night. So we were happy with him, and you know, he's improving also. You got a young guy that's second year in the system, and we like in the first two games the steps he's taken.
We focused on the slow starts from the offense in the first two games. Are you happy with the way your defense has started, and if not?
Oh, absolutely not. None of us are. I mean, we had 17 points at halftime both days. It's like, come on, guys. You know, we don't want to dig that hole. Now, we're doing a great job of digging out of that hole, but getting into that hole is what you've got to stop. So, good.
Why does it look different? I mean, you guys seem so much more communicative in the second half.
Well, early on, I think everybody in the NFL faces the same thing. You're looking at an offense that you've got preseason snaps, and you've just got a little bit of body of work of really who they are and how they're going to attack you. For instance, the tackle over, you know, we knew we had it in there. We practiced a handful of it. We got a belly full of it, though. So we had to adjust on the fly with a unique game plan concept. The guys did a great job of adjusting. And everybody talks about halftime adjustments. The adjustments are really made for defensively when our offense is on the field. We're adjusting on the sideline. Halftime is just to say, okay, guys, is everybody clear on the adjustments? And as we move on and what they gave us, we adjust to. And I think we adjust as we go in the first half of both these games. We saw a little bit new wrinkles that we had to tweak, and the guys did a great job of adjusting and then, you know, playing better in the second half.
What makes Sproles such a tough defensive matchup?
His quickness, his quickness and his speed. You know, he's got great burst. His stop and start ability is what most linebackers and safeties are. That's what's tough to stay with. So when he comes out of the backfield, you really are, you know, you've got to have either two on him, or you really have to have the right leverage and only give him a one-way go because he's so quick out of those cuts.
Can you take us through the decision on Marcus Smith, why he wasn't active?
It's just a team decision that we go. We got the total picture looking at it. You know, right now Brandon Graham is the third outside backer. So we, you know, Marcus is a guy on the team that's scrapping to break into the starting lineup. And just the total number of who we were going to have active that day, he didn't fit in.
Active this weekend.
I think every week is a different week. Yeah, we prepare always that he will be. We prepare for all of the guys that are on the 53, that we prep them to play. And then as the week goes on and injuries happen or whatever else may happen, then we adjust. And the actives are really late in the week, the Saturdays, the Sundays. But we prep all of them every week, and we go into every week thinking we'll have them.
Will it be a challenge?
What does he need to do better to break into?
Well, I think he just has to steadily improve. You know, you look at Brandon Graham and what he did going forward, and you got Trent and Connor in there, and, you know, they're entrenched, and it's solid, and he's got a good group ahead of him that he's trying to break through, and you know, he'll continue to grow and be all right. He'll be okay.
Will it be a challenge for him to do that not playing, or is he someone who 6 weeks from now you expect to be, you know, significantly?
It's always a challenge to grow when you're not getting game reps. It is harder to do that, but in practice, and that's part of the NFL. That's the hard part of taking somebody's job that already has one, is you've got to be, you know, great in practice, and you have to show that you really are, you know, making progress, and then you're fighting for game day reps, and when you get game day reps, you got to make the most of them.
Colts did a good job in the scoring touchdowns in the red zone, including two pretty easy passes wide open to Bradshaw. I mean, how do you defend those goal line plays, those easy passes?
We should have had those. I'll take those. We had breakdowns in responsibility and. Nobody, obviously, guy running wide open in the end zone is not the defensive plan. So we fix those things. I don't see it happening again. It was a bad red zone night for us. You know, you fix the third down part of it. We're getting off the field on third down much better than we were a year ago. And then the red zone kind of snuck away from us a little bit. But we'll put our focus back on that and clean up what went wrong in the red zone, because there's no way those touchdowns should happen. They should be field goals if they get down there.
What do you need to do to just get better, just have a more consistent pass rush?
Were you disappointed with the pass rush Monday night? I wasn't. I felt like we had good pressure on them. They ran a lot more than they threw. And when they threw, he did not have a clean throwing lanes very often. He made some great throws, matter of fact, when he was being smothered by guys. Now, the sack number wasn't there, but people put way too much emphasis on the sack number as opposed to moving them off his spot, putting them under duress, all those things. I wasn't disappointed at all in the pass rush. I thought we had good pressure the other night.
What has impressed you the most about Brandon Graham from now and last year?
I think his understanding of his job and his ability to play both sides now. You know, he's not only the predator that moves forward, but both of them are growing into where they're getting a little closer as they understand the drop better. But he's done a nice job of wrapping his mind around the scheme and his responsibility and really making a difference out there. He's a load in a run game, and he's a load with his bull pass rush. So, you know, we're excited about him getting his 20, 25 snaps a game.
We can quantify sacks. We can't on our side quantify
sure.
as easily moving.
Sure.
How do you figure that out? How do you judge the score? What you did to Luck, for example.
How many times a certain player moves a quarterback off a spot? And I said this last year a couple of times. You can be a guy that has an awful pass rush going. The guy opposite you has a great one, moves the quarterback off the spot. You were stalemated, and you fall into the sack. And everybody says, wow, you got a sack. Great job. Well, as coaches, we don't buy into that. Or you have a guy that gets an unblocked sack. He just ran through an open hole and tackled a quarterback. That's not a wild sack. The sacks that beat a tackle or beat a guard or beat a center, those are the ones that have higher point value for us. And, again, if you move somebody off the spot and one of your teammates get it, because they are rushing the passer together. It's four of them or five of them that keep them contained, squeeze the pocket, get in the throwing lanes, and that's how you have a productive pass rush.
Before this past Sunday, Kirk Cousins' his best game was probably that Cleveland game. What do you remember from that afternoon?
About 15 boots. I mean, he was out of the pocket constantly. He had a great game. The stretch run was really stretching our defense there, so we were overplaying the run, and then the boot game really got us. We couldn't get it contained, and therefore, and he had a great game. He was very calm, very heady. Had the week of practice. It was the week that he got hurt, so he came into us, and I'm very impressed with Cousins, and I've got a history of him playing well, so I know what he's good
there. Corners helped by the fact that they know Deshaun so well, that they've seen him so often, that they know his moves and can gauge his speed.
I think that helps a lot. I think when you go in and you have practiced, put your hands on a receiver, you felt his speed, you know when he can run by you, felt him run by you, you know the little nuances that you've got to work with. I think that helps. The speed is still speed. It's tough to, you know, if you either have it or you don't, and he definitely has it. So we're looking forward to the challenge, but they also have a lot of other challenges they present. The running back, Pierre Garçon's a great runner. Roberts is very nifty in the slot. I was with him in Arizona, so I'm familiar with him. The tight end position is pretty strong, especially if Reed is healthy. So there's a lot of weapons coming at us that we've got to keep our attention on.
Are you having more success with those eight-gap pressures this year? And if you are, why do you think that is?
Oh, I think we're moving it around depending on what protections they're giving us. And the last couple of weeks, the A-gap has been something that seems to be an opening for us, so we took it. And if they close it down, then we've got other pressures that will come with it. It's just a chess match going back and forth. What are the protections they're presenting? You know, what structures are we giving them? And we just, the first 2 weeks has been inside pressure has been kind of what they've allowed us to take.
Well, in the first half Monday night, were guys over pursuing against the Colts running game, or what was going on if they had such big holes?
Well, the big run of the night was the short yardage, and we lost force. So when you lose force, big runs happen. So the primary element to any run defense is setting the edges and keeping it inside where you can get to it. And that was the one extra yardage play, a plus 20 play that we had in the game, and that was because we lost force. So it was more of more that than anything. And then they had a solid running, you know, downhill running attack where those running backs broke some tackles. You know, they come downhill and they get a couple yards. But we were happy that it didn't get way out. The quarterback had a plus 15 or 19, I believe. And a couple of big runs happen when you lose force. So holding force. On that particular one, we were cut. We cut the blocker on the edge. We put us on the ground and it bounced. And that's how it got outside of us. So.
As a defensive coordinator,
how to defend the screen pass? The screen pass is difficult in that you never know when it's coming. Some people will tell it, some people don't. Some people have a tendency. They did not. There's wide receiver screens, and then there's running back screens, and they're two really different animals. So the running back screen is a lot more about the D lineman's ability to recognize, and I think our guys do a great job of feeling that this offensive lineman is blocking me different. It's softer. It's not as intense. Now here comes a screen, and they find it. So it's you work on it. You talk about it, but it really is your D linemen that have the feel. We good? Thanks, guys.